thank you for inviting me. And this talk is on hyperbolic groups or graphs. So there's very little to very little have to do with this algebra. So I talk on graph. What is graph? But my graph is always identified with vertex set, and it's regarded as a metric space, discrete metric space. So gamma is a graph, and it's same as vertex space. And any x and y in gamma, the distance is given by mean of path which connects x and y. So graph is connected. So this is finite. That there is x0, which is x, and x1, and xn, which is y, in gamma, such that the each xk is adjacent to xk plus 1.
So there's some notion of adjacency. The graph is more than just the vertex.
Yes. Vertex plus adjacency.
Yes.
But I mean when I write x, y in gamma, which means it's vertex.
Yeah.
Vertex plus adjacency. Yes. And plus this distance. Yes. And yes. And example, most of the time, example is actually K graph, which is come from gamma is a group with a finite set, actually finite or not doesn't matter, but then for defining K graph, but in my case it's always finite, with a finite set of generators. This is denoted by L. Then I just declare that x is adjacent to xs for each x in gamma and x in s.
Yeah.
And length with respect to this finite set of generator is that minimum of n, such that x is written by S1, no, there exists S1 to Sn in, if it's a symmetric, it only S is fine, but it may not be symmetric, in this case I add inverse, such that X is S1 to Sn. And it's clear that distance, in this case, distance xy is nothing but this length of x inverse y.
What is this graph supposed to be? This set.
What?
That last.
This one?
This last big word.
Oh, S.
But what, S or what?
This is a finite set of generators.
Generators?
Oh, yes.
It's S. Okay. Because
you don't
have so many, and so I just
said,
what is this?
And the case of free group, that's two generators generated by A and B.
Yeah.
Then this graph is like this. Looks like this. Lots of you have seen this in some fairs. But it starts from unit 1. and then pass to AA, you get A here, or A square here, or B here, or B inverse here, or then, I don't know, this place is AB. Okay. And so on. And this is a tree. Tree means that there is no root. And the theorem of Fogel from 78, or if you are French, theorem of Cartier, I don't know. But it says that if gamma is a tree, meaning that just there is no root, then the square root of distance is Hilbertian. That it metric comes from Hilbert space. And the proof is very simple. That first pick any base point on this tree. And consider the map to the characteristic function from this base point to S. I just try to discrete, but it's possible to discrete. You can consider it either an edge or a vertex, but I only consider vertex. Okay, thank you.
Could it be enough to prove the parallelogram law?
Yes. That's the idea here. Anyway, you can check this norm of these two vectors in L2, that in 3, every 3 point looks like this, or otherwise it's line. But the O is here, X is here, Y is here. And chi is the characteristic function from 0 to, this is the characteristic function on these points, and Y is on these points. And if you subtract this from that, then these points remain, and it is just equal to the distance of X and Y. And this distance or any function in two variable function that is kernel on gamma cross gamma, which is square root of Hilbertian, is called conditionally negative definite, and it has the following property by Schoenberg. Actually, if I'm wrong, this means that the R to the D from gamma times gamma to 0, 1 is positive definite. For any R between 0 and 1, but between 0 and 1, actually, 1 is also in the 14, but I don't want to check something. And this is actually, if and only, it's anyway, it follows that R to D as a Schur multiplier. I denote it as a Schur multiplier law by CD, and I explain later why I denote that. It's anyway, Schur multiplier law. Is it equal 1, but then it's the solidity by 1 for any R between 0 and 1. And this talk, I would like to generalize this to hyperbolic groups. Hyperbolic graph. Gamma now is graph. Yes, it's graph. It's hyperbolic. If there exists a huge constant delta, such that for each geodesic triangle, which geodesic triangle, each vertex, each edge is containing the delta neighborhood of other two in delta neighborhood to the union of other two. And Victoria, it's simple, that it's like this. You choose X and Y, XY, W, 3 point in gamma, and you choose any geodesic. Geodesic means it's just an isometric copy of discrete interval 0 to N or something, yeah? But unless it's a tree, there's a lot of possibility of geodesic like this or like that. But anyway, you choose anything. But this is a geodesic triangle. That you choose 3 points and you choose any geodesic between them. And so if you take a delta neighborhood of these two, it's delta neighborhood, and I need if you take delta neighborhood of this edge and this edge, it contains this one as well. In three cases, it's clear that any delta neighborhood or zero neighborhood of this and this contains the other edge. And just that bit, yes. And this hyperbolicity is a very robust notion, and it's clearly invariant under finite changes of matrix. Or you could just finite change of some graph, because finite change means what? If that change just changes this metric finite remaining. Finite amount, then it's everything is absorbed by delta and it's okay. But the theorem of Gromov is that this notion is also invariant under Bayliss equivalent no distance. And this gives us the next definition that gamma is now it's good. Finite regeneracy. It's hyperbolic. If its KD graph is hyperbolic, I erase it here. If its KD graph is hyperbolic,
that doesn't really generate it?
Yes, and it's independent of it. Because the changing generating set is finite generated, it's finite. Changing generating set, it changes the metric by Lipschitz way, that is. If you take S prime instead of S, then S prime is contained in the nth power of S, which means just the distance is up to at most N times the original distance, or the other side. And the theorem of it. Mine is that this here is that if gamma is hyperbolic graph, but bounded degree or Actually, you can relax this meter, but there is a firm bound every year. Then the, actually, this formula theorem has a genus. Theorem has a generalization by Pitrick and Schwarz, Pitrick. Inspired by Tokani and Hogarth's result, but even this extends to a complex plane, complex disk, unit disk. This is dominated by 1 minus V, 1 minus V, that's absolute value. So, V in the disk, this is a complex number with absolute value less than 1. More by holomorphic. Holomorphic means holomorphic into the set of half space of Schumann. And actually, holomorphy is very important, and I will talk later. So the same thing holds basically for hyperbolic graph. But then this, there exists a constant C. It cannot be one if this is a group and has property T. That V to D, this normal Schur multiplier is dominated by C times 1 minus V. V or Z, 1 minus Z, more or four more. In particular, if Z is real, that Z is from D. If Z is real, this is bounded by C uniformly, and this is by the, as far as I know, first example, the theory is completely bounded semigroup. There are lots of completely positive semigroups which is studied a lot, but this is completely bounded semigroup. And the result is somewhat surprising because hyperbolic, you know, some hyperbolic is very robust and you can change metric little bit every day or expand or distort, and it's still hyperbolic. But the Schumann multiplier norm is very sensitive under the perturbation. And but still this precise result is good.
It's a
group, then it's Cherry graph is also, Cherry graph certainly has bounded then. And that's actually application is in that case. Yes, then I talk about this TV norm, Schur multiplier. That K is a kernel of gamma. Gamma is just a set. To C. And the multiplier K is a match from B of L2 gamma into L2 gamma, B of L2 gamma. That which match. The operator T is, I expanded this as a infinite times gamma matrix. To map to just Schur multiplication. Of course, this need not be bounded anymore. But anyway. And it's called the Schur multiplier if this is bounded or equivalent if it is everywhere defined. And the basic theorem on this theory is that for K, the following equivalent, that it's bounded, that it's a Schur multiplier. Or, it's CV norm. be founded by one. Actually, speaking of my people, I don't use TV or I don't use TV. Most of you know that. And just TV means that to distinguish it from anything, you know, or other more. And three, that's the AI, which is the Hilbert space based that psi and eta from gamma to some Hilbert space, the same thing in Hilbert space. Such that the TV are all bounded uniform, the bounded to eta x, eta y is bounded, and change factorized by this eta and y psi. Actually, this theorem is perfect due to Gortan deep, at least the qualitative version is done by Gortan deep. The precise version, that the known one version, is perhaps Hargraf or Paulsen or somebody else. Okay. By the way, I only use proof 3 implies 2, which is very trivial. That I define B from L2 gamma to L2 gamma tensor H by delta X is mapped to delta X tensor psi X. This is a contraction, yes? Because psi X is all norm 1, less than 1. And the W is the same, but W delta Y is delta Y tensor eta Y. Then the B star, you can check B star, B tensor identity, W is, this is a Schur multiplier. This is all about Schur multiplier, yes. And for notation, that I just for simplicity, then I write Z to the E, C, D norm, which means just as a Schur multiplier, I denote K, C, D, Schur multiplier norm. This is the same as C, D norm. And when gamma is not just set, it's group, it's the other notion of Hertz Schur multiplier norm. Now gamma is a group. By the way, group, to me, group means only countable and discrete. Yeah. And F is a function, any function. Then MF, which by definition which is mk, but k is, now it's just a single variable function, so I expand it, kxy is fxy inverse.
Yeah.
And this is a kernel, and you can define Schur multiplier if it's bounded, and this is mf. And MF, this choice of X by inverse, not X inverse Y, is just for the convenience sake that the regular representation leaves this form. No. That is equivariant. So MF lambda S becomes FS. This is a scalar lambda S. Yes? So it multiplies fifth algebra, that reduces group fifth algebra into itself, if it's bounded. And there is a theorem of Bojeik-Fendura. Bojeik-Fendura is that the MF CB norm, or norm, just norm, they are same, is equal to the MF restricted to theta algebra generated by gamma, lambda gamma, CB norm. this part is, it has to be CV-norm. The norm on this sphere multiplier restricted to this algebra does not coincide with the CV-norm. But on BioBelt, it coincides. And I just denote it by F CV for simplicity. There are a lot of examples of this self-Schumann multiplier, mainly come from uniformly bounded representations opposed to the unitary representation. Pi is this representation on Schumann space, but it's not unitary, just invertible and uniformly bounded. Actually, uniformly bounded or not, that's uniformly bounded. Then I define FS to be the this form, I S theta psi, for some psi and theta, anyway. then you compute the Schumann multiplier norm that you want to factorize this as a Hilbert space vector. Yeah? That the norm is calculated in this way, after its upper bound. But it is very simply pi y inverse theta pi x star, which need not be equal to pi x inverse. Right. So this means that XDB, the Hilbert norm, is dominated by pi norm. Pi norm means the slope of this pi x square, because there are two and pi x. Unfortunately, there is always a Hilbert multiplier which does not arise as a coefficient of uniformly bounded representation. And it's still unclear that this Hilbert multiplier or no, if you restrict it to group, this Hilbert multiplier comes from a uniformly bounded representation or not. It's not clear, but I assume so. That is one. And I just wrote this Hilbert multiplier. The gamma group is now it's group. Gamma is weakly the first group. Gamma is called weakly amenable if we constant C. If there exists a sequence because it's counterweight, it's not counterweight net of functions such that the gamma to C, such that the first of all is finitely supported, so everything is finitely supported. And second is converges to 1 pointwise. And third is this Hilbert norm is stupid bounded by C. this is some kind of Chesserov minimum or what, like that you can multiply this finitely supported function reduced group six algebra element, and it's bounded on that reduced group six algebra. And this property can be used to prove several things if it's group hugging.
What is the definition of this property with a property A?
It implies the exactness, yes. But the exactness doesn't imply this. There's a weaker version that fits weakly amenable with, say, constant infinity, which is each holography and curve coordinate AP. And AP also implies this property A, but the converse is not clear. It's not known. Exactly that. The corollary to that theorem is that the hyperbolic group has. Hyperbolic group has this property. It's Hermitian. And it was known by work of Dohnányi-Hagler for Kavling-Hagler that it any lattice of simple leaves of rank 1, real rank 1, into leaves of R rank 1, our weekly amenable. Anyway, what is the relationship that compact lattices in leaf group of real rank 1 is hyperbolic? And the hyperbolic group contains other examples, and in particular hyperbolic group contains some several groups with property C, and in that case this C cannot be 1, and the Hagler computed exactly what is the best constant C in this case, and I don't get any estimate of C on that reason, this constant C. And also Hagler shows that the that the lattices in real rank greater than 2, so greater than or equal to 2, then in this case it's not weakly amenable. So it's here property A, but it's not weakly amenable. There are a lot of results that separating this. We have higher rank case and the hyperbolic case. Hyperbolic case, they may have property C, but it's something, accident that they should not have it. And there's a lot of results that separating the hyperbolic group and higher rank group. And this is one of the proof of theorem to corollary is very simple. Theorem is that we get this estimate, and the corollary is that it's weakly amenable. So I just set the Cz for Fz. Fz is x to be z to length of x in gamma, z in this. And from this, that z to the d has a CD norm less than this, means that this is an equivalent thing for Schlemmer norm. It's dominated by the same thing. And that is in particular FR tends to 1 because it's R to the X point wise, and FR CB norm is dominated by C, uniformly bounded. Now the problem is that it's not finitely supported. It's because R to the length, it's C naught function. But it's very easily fixed that so it suffices to show this all VFR is approximated by finitely supported functions in Hertzschler norm. So it's in pedantic way writing. It's HF0, which is by definition closure of finitely supported functions. Inside this HF, the path space of Hertzschler multiplier. And then we get that this D from Z to FZ in HF, the Hertzschler multiplier, this is holomorphic. That's what the theorem proves. It's holomorphic, and it's clearly in HF node if Z is very small, and this is in actually when this is approximated by finitely supported function, if it's L1, then it's clearly approximated by finitely supported function L1 gamma, which is in HF node or Z smaller than, because it's finitely generated, there's a growth and there's exponential growth, and if it's less than the 1 over growth rate, it's in L1, it's summable, and hence it's approximated by finitely supported function in Hertzschler norm, because L1 norm dominates anything. But then from this setting that if anything is mapped from disk to Banach space, which is holomorphic, and at some region or at some line or if in the Banach subspace, then everything is in this Banach subspace because their extension is unique, holomorphic. That you consider HF over HF node, which is FZ is holomorphic into here and zero in this region, so it's zero everywhere actually. So this FZ being HF node and Z. This by uniqueness of holomorphic extension. There's only 5 minutes left. And I should not be in this class. The proof of the theorem, this is also very simple, and it's anyway written in the preprint of 7 pages or so, and everything, every detail is written there. And proof when gamma is a tree, it's even simpler, actually. This doesn't appear anywhere, but one can extract this from Peterich Schwarz paper. That part fits this proof of theorem that the Schur norm is bounded thing. It's a geodesic grade omega in gamma. This means just an isometric copy of n in gamma. It's 3. Fix one such that is fixing the point at infinity, then for each x in gamma, there exists unique omega x starting at this is 0dB, 0dB, starting at X, and closing to omega. It's starting from X, there is omega X, this is omega. It's unique because it's free. And I just set for the Z in this, delta Z, this is a vector for each X. If there's normalization constant turns out to be 1 minus Z square root. Square root is principal to anything. And D to K, and the direct function of omega X K. This is comable for the absolute value less than 1. Then I compute what happens to this factorization. But it's complex conjugate. I want to factorize the Schumann multiplier in the Hilbert space vector and take in the program. So this vector is in L2 gamma. This is in the product in L2 gamma. Then it's 1 minus V square summation K and L Z K plus L. Now it's not the direct delta, Kronecker delta. Omega X is equal to omega Y delta. Then I do the change of value. L, 0 to infinity, Z to N. K, 0 to N. Z, delta, omega X, K. Omega Y, N minus K. Now I check when they meet that here's X and this is omega up to infinity and here's Y. And this point is omega X K, omega X N minus, omega Y N minus K. And then the length here is M, let's say, and the length here is D, which D is the dxy. Then you solve the equation that it's from here to here it's k, from here to here it's n minus k. Then you get n is m more b plus 2m. And if this equation is satisfied, then for some k, they are meeting point, random point, because when you increase k from 0 to n, it goes, this dot goes to in this way, and n minus k comes from this way, and it meets some fair amount, and only one, if this part is even. So you get actually, if 1 minus b square, summation, n is what? B plus 2n? N is 0 to infinity z. N is B plus 2n. And this means 1 plus 1 plus. And it's that's what we wanted. And the data is known, is easy to calculate. It's defined in that way, so it's not 1 minus B square absolute value. And summation of B to zero. K. In 1 minus B square, 1 minus B square. In the dominant by 1 minus B square. I will not do this. Now it's even homomorphic because actually this thing I use is just erased. Sorry, delta is mapped from gamma into H, but it's function, it's a reinfinity function, that is D from D into delta This is an infinity gamma into a 2 gamma. It's homomorphic. Because it's just written by, written analytics that written in operators combined series. So it's homomorphic. Now finally, this finishes the proof of 3K and 3K. Actually, finding this proof for 3 almost half done for hyperbolic case and half hyperbolic case. There is only one trick you need to generalize the hyperbolic case, because hyperbolic case, geodesic path is not unique. There are several geodesic paths, and you get the not omega xk, you get some finite subset here. And then to get around it, you just define that if p is any gamma, it's finite. Okay? Then you define delta, phi p plus minus. This is in L2, finite subset of gamma, power set, finite subset of gamma, that's defined by S plus minus L2 vectors is 1 or 0, 1 if S is in P and 0 otherwise. Then this is a vector which normally is controlled by cardinality of P, where it could be P. And if you take inner product, psi T, minus plus. This inner product is either 0 or 1. 0 if they intersect, and 1 if they don't. If they don't intersect, there's an empty set is both contained here, so you get 1. And if they intersect, it's just binomial theorem, you get 0. And this gives us the 0-1 thing you want to Actually, if you want to work this direction, this thing can be generalized to. In this case, this thing should be understood as weak complex, and you can generalize to other complex, and you get always this part is that in this case it's half complex, and you get the Euler characteristics here. And in many cases, the intersection is Euler characteristic 1 or 0, and you can get 0-1 function like this.
It's just widely speculating from this.